When I say game company, you think of Nintendo, Sony, Microsoft, those who shall not be named. Unless you have a really good memory or really love chess, you don't think of Apple. And for pretty good reason. You can drop $13,000 on a brand new iMac Pro and only have a decent gaming machine. And because it's not upgradable, not for very long. But hey, it is space gray. Max can play games the same way a smart car can drive cross country. Sure, it's possible, but kinda by accident. Apple may have far more resources than Microsoft or Sony, but to make a gaming platform, they'd really have to want one. And right now, they just don't. At least, that's how it looks. For many people, computers are just Facebook or YouTube or email machines. For them, a phone or tablet is increasingly good enough. The trend is portability over performance, which isn't so good for the PC market. But there's one big exception: PC gaming. It has all the characteristics of a tiny niche market, but it isn't. It's actually growing. Many gamers buy parts to build their own computers, and regularly upgrade them to keep up with new games. This saves a lot of money, and for companies, margins are pretty low. So as much as Johnny Ive would love to fix this and this, seriously, these look ridiculous, it just doesn't fit Apple's strategy. Big, upgradable machines sold for low margins are pretty much their nightmare. Apple will pass on billion-dollar industries without blinking an eye if they don't have something significant to add. So a chart like this one looks terrible for Apple. Android phones dominate the globe, but they don't really care because of this. They're happy selling fewer phones because it fits their strategy. They're just so good at making profit. But that's actually precisely why they already are in the business of gaming. They just have a very different approach. For you, gaming may look like this or this, but the truth is, for even more people, it looks like this. Mobile gaming is a $46 billion market, more profitable than PC games, console games, even global box office sales. On any given day, Candy Crush alone makes $2 million. Fortnite is expected to make $500 million this year. Not bad at all. And Apple takes a 30% cut of all App Store revenue. Obviously, they aren't only or mostly a game company, but at this point, it's hard to deny they aren't a game company. You might be thinking, Apple just stumbled into this. They're no more a game company than your internet service provider is a YouTube company. But the App Store isn't just another App Store. It's really the Game Store. The Game Store. The App Store is 25% games, far more than any other category. Last year, they redesigned the entire store to emphasize them. And game developers love the store just as much as the store loves them. Good games are expensive to make. Even what seems like a simple game may require a team of programmers, another for art and music and writing and marketing. Like movies, it's a huge upfront investment with a ton of risk. But the promise of digital goods is that once they're made, they're made. No manufacturing or transportation or stocking costs. One game, one click of a button, now millions of people can download it. But because Google says, here's some software, now go make phones, and manufacturers are desperate to stand out, Android is a nightmare for game developers. There are 2-inch Android phones, probably 2-meter Android phones, and everything in between. Do you want a phone that can tell you how fat you are? How about one engraved with Colonel Sanders' face? If you can think of it, Android has it. And they're all sprinkled between a million different versions of Android. When you're making a game, this means accommodating tens of thousands of different phones. Not so fun. Compare that to iOS, and you can see its appeal. 76% run the latest iOS version. On Android, it's only 5. This is why Apple is so pesky about updating your phone. It adds a ton of value to their company. And sorry, Microsoft Store, it might be really easy to develop for you, but nobody has a Windows phone. Apple also has the advantage of designing its own processors, which means developers can make better, crispier games on iPhone. They're kinda embarrassingly faster than some of Apple's own laptops. But the biggest reason companies choose the App Store is simple. iOS users pay twice as much for apps. Games like Super Mario Run and Fortnite came to iOS first because that's where the money is. And Apple is very aware. They've partnered with Nintendo, Epic Games, EA, that game company, even Scarf Guy. The iPhone, iPad, and still a product in our lineup, iPod Touch, are maybe the most popular gaming devices. But there's still a lot more Apple could do. In 2015, Apple announced a new generation Apple TV. Not just an expensive way to watch Netflix, more a computer. It still plays Netflix and Hulu and eventually Amazon, but it's a general-purpose entertainment device. It has its own app store, with games, even third-party game controllers. It's no Xbox or Wii, but it has the potential to become the console for casual gamers. But they made one major mistake. Games had to be compatible with a built-in remote. But the remote, well, it sucks for gaming. And because of that rule, games could only be as good as the remote. Not very good. Apple has now reversed that decision, but now they're having a chicken or egg problem. For many people, there aren't enough good games to buy an Apple TV, but developers won't make games until there are more people to buy them. So which comes first? And a lot of games now require a controller, but nobody has one. So here's an idea. What if instead of selling two sizes of the Apple TV, they sold two versions? For gamers, a more expensive, higher performance, higher storage model that comes with a controller, and a slightly cheaper, lower performance, lower storage version for everyone else. More people would have controllers, which would bring more and better games, which brings even more people, and so on. It might still be tough getting developers to make games for the Apple TV, but there's a good reason to think Apple's working on that. There's a rumor they'll allow developers to make one app for several platforms. So instead of having to make one version of their app for Mac and one for iOS, or more likely just doing the latter, they could kill two birds with one stone. If this also worked for Apple TV, it could bring a ton of new games to the platform. Apple is in a great position to create a very profitable new gaming platform, especially with how ruthless game companies can be. The new YouTube channel Cheddar has a video about this very topic, how games use microtransactions and pay-to-win purchases to maximize profits. It also makes an interesting counter-argument I hadn't really thought about, that one benefit of these free-to-play games is that they're accessible to everyone, even if you don't have disposable income. But as they mention, it's reached crazy levels with games like Battlefront 2. Cheddar has very generously sponsored this video because if you like my videos, you might also like theirs. There's a link in the description to watch their video on pay-to-win gaming, or you can check out some of their other videos, like Cheddar Explains the Dotcom Bubble, a topic I've always heard about, but having been born right in the middle of it, didn't know much about. Or Cheddar Explains the Future of Cable TV, how younger generations are forever changing the industry. All of those will be in the description. And thanks again to Cheddar for supporting the channel.